Bhagavatam Ki Jai. We're reading from 10th Canto, Chapter 49, which is entitled Akura's Mission in Hastinapur. Today's verses are 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. Only. Hare Krishna. We can chant these verses together till we get to text 11. Then we'll chant 11 responsibly. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Jaiva Narottamam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayet Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavata Yuttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should first offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead, Narayan, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator, and the inspirer. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. But then you can't read the book when it's right there. Sorry. Hare Krishna. Okay, so we can chant together these texts. We'll do it just a little slowly. Okay. Prita tu brataram praptam akruram upashrityatam uvacha janma nilayam smarantya shru kalekshanam. The translation and purports are by the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Translation is, this is text number 7, Kunti Devi. Taking advantage of her brother Akura's visit, approached him confidentially. While remembering her birthplace, she spoke with tears in her eyes. Text 8, together.
Api smarantina somya pitaro brataraschya me bhaginyo bratriputrascha janmaya sakya evacha.
Queen Kunti said, O gentle one, do my parents, brothers, sisters, nephews, family women, and girlhood friends still remember us? 9.
Bratreyo Bhagavan Krishna Sharanyo Bhaktavatsala Paitreya Svashrayam Smriti Ramas Chamburu Hekshana.
Does my nephew, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the compassionate shelter of his devotees still remember his aunt's sons? And does lotus-eyed Ram remember them also? 10.
Svapatna madyeso chantim vrikanam harinim eva santva yisyati mam vakyai Pritrihinam Shabalakam.
Now that I am suffering in the midst of my enemies like a doe in the midst of wolves, will Krishna come to console me and my fatherless sons with his words? Here's a very nice prayer that she offers. We can chant this one responsively.
Krishna Krishna Mahayogin.
Krishna Krishna Mahayogin.
Krishna Krishna Mahayogin.
Krishna Krishna Mahayogin.
Vishvatma Vishvabhavana.
Vishvatma Vishvabhavana.
Vishvatma Vishvabhavana. Prapanam Pahi Govinda. Prapanam Pahi Govinda. Shishubhis Javashidatim. Shishubhis Javashidatim. Krishna Krishna Mahayogin. Vishvatma Vishvabhavana. Prapanam Pahi Govinda. Shishubhis Javashidatim. Please chant. Krishna Krishna Mahayogin. Vishvatma Vishvabhavana. Prapanam Pahi Govinda. Shishubhis Javashidatim. Krishna Krishna Mahayogin. Vishvatmam Vishvabhavanam. Prapanam Pahi Govinda. Shishubhis Javashidatim. Krishna Krishna Mahayogin. Vishvatma Vishvabhavanam. Prapanam Pahi Govinda. Shishubhis Javashidatim. Ladies. Krishna Krishna Mahayogin. Vishvatma Vishvabhavana. Prapanam Pahi Govinda. Shishubhis Javashidatim. Krishna Krishna Mahayogin. Vishvatma Vishvabhavana. Prapanam Pahi Govinda. Shishubhis Javashidatim. Krishna Krishna.
Krishna,
oh Krishna Krishna.
Oh Krishna Krishna.
Mahayogin.
Mahayogin.
Possessor of the greatest spiritual power.
Vishva
Atma. O Supreme Soul of the Universe. Vishva Bhavana. O Protector of the Universe. Prapanam. A surrendered lady. Pahi. Please protect. Govinda. O Govinda. Shishubhi. Along with my children. Cha. And Avasidatim, who am sinking down in distress. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Krishna, Krishna, O great yogi. We should offer these prayers with feeling. O supreme soul and protector of the universe, O Govinda, please protect me, who have surrendered to you. I and my sons are being overwhelmed by trouble. Please repeat. Together, let's do it together. Oh Krishna, Krishna, great yogi, oh supreme, with feeling, put your weight, wait. Put your heart and soul into it. These are great prayers. There's great benefit in offering these prayers. And Krishna's gonna reach out and protect you like he's been doing all along, but this time you're gonna realize it, okay? Krishna, Krishna, O great yogi, O supreme soul and protector of the universe, O Govinda, please protect me who have surrendered to you. I and my sons are being overwhelmed by trouble. Krishna, purport. This is Queen Kunti, a quote, not Kunti. Since Lord Krishna maintains the entire universe, thought Kunti Devi, surely he can protect our family. The word avasidatim indicates that Kunti Devi was overwhelmed by troubles, thus exhausted. She was helplessly taking shelter of Sri Krishna. In her prayers in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Kunti admits that all these troubles were actually a blessing, for they forced her to be always intensely Krishna conscious. So more on that in a minute. We'll finish our next two verses. We have two more verses to go. We can chant these two responsively. Nanyatava padam bojat. I did say responsibly, it's true, but I mean to say in unison. Thank you. Nanyatava padam bojat pasyami sharanam nrinam bibhyatam ritusam sharad ishvarasya parvargikat. For persons fearful of death and rebirth, I see no shelter other than your liberating lotus feet, for you are the Supreme Lord. And this one we can do also responsibly? No, in unison, sorry. Nama Krishnaya Sudhaya Brahmane Paramatmane Yogeshwaraya Yogaya Tvam Aham Sharanam Gata. I offer my obeisances unto you, Krishna, the Supreme Pure, the Absolute Truth, and the Supersoul, the Lord of pure devotional service, and the source of all knowledge. I have come to you for shelter. Purport, Srila Sridhar Swami has translated the words yogaya as unto Krishna, the source of all knowledge. The word yoga indicates connection, and it also the means to achieve something. As conscious souls, we have a connection with the Supreme Soul through bhakti, or devotion. Through that relationship, we experience perfect knowledge of the Supreme Soul. Since the Supreme Soul is the Absolute Truth, perfect knowledge of Him means perfect knowledge of everything. As stated in the Mukunda Upanishad 1.3, Kasmin Bhagavo Vigyate Sarvam Idam Vigyatam Bhavanti. When the Absolute is understood, everything is understood. Thus, Lord Krishna Himself, by His spiritual potency, establishes our connection with Him. And that connection is the source of all spiritual knowledge. Thus, Acharya Sridhar, by His thoughtful translation, stimulates us to deeper understanding of Krishna conscious philosophy. Om Agina Timidangasya Jinanjana Sulakaya Chaksu Umiditam Jena Tasmai Sri Guru Vena Maha Sri Chaitanya Mahabhishtam Sakitam Yamabhutale Sarnivam Kadamayam Sakita Padantikam. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. So, in this chapter, Sri Akura Ji is sent on a mission by the Lord, as been spoken of in the last couple of classes. After the Lord has visited Kubja, or Trivakra, as she's described in this chapter, he went to Akura's house, as he had promised, which was mentioned, as he had promised to visit Akura. Remember when he made that promise? After Akura had brought him from Vrindavan to Mathura, Akura invites him. He's on the outskirts of Mathura, and Akura invites him to his house. And Krishna says, not just yet. I will come, but first I have some business to take care of, and I'll come after I take care of my business, which was killing of Kamsa, Kamsa Nisudana, killing of Kamsa. First he wanted to take care of business, and then he felt, then he was at liberty to go visit Akura. So after Kubja's visit, then he goes to Akura's house. Akura offers him prayers. And now he's giving Akura some service. He's giving Akura the service of going to Hastinapur to find out what's happening, because he was a little suspicious, even though, as explained in one of the verses, Vishvatma, even though he's the soul of the universe and knows everything, he's acting according to his desire. He's acting that he doesn't exactly know what's happening with the Pandavas. Their father having died at an early age when the Pandavas were young boys, when they were off in the forest, Kunti Devi brought the fatherless sons to the capital there, to the shelter of Dhritarashtra, the elder brother. And Duryodhana and all his brothers were there in the palace with Bhishma and everything, and that was where she was. That's where she had to go for shelter. That was her shelter at that time. But Krishna, the Lord, is a little suspicious, a little concerned about Dhritarashtra's motives and the motives of Duryodhana and everyone, thinking that perhaps these Pandavas are in a compromised position. And perhaps he was right, because she, Kunti Devi, takes Akrura aside and says, and speaks confidentially, it said in verse 7, and she expresses her heartfelt anxiety for the safety of her son. Now, in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 8, when Srimati Kunti Devi offers her very beautiful, very famous prayers, about 25, very beautiful prayers that she offers. That's taking place after all of this. Although it came first in the Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam's not there giving the chronological order of things. It's giving the philosophical and the bhava relationship with the devotee's order. So that's stressed, so not the chronological order. So although those prayers came first canto, this situation now is before that. So this is now when the boys are still quite young, and you know, perhaps Bhima has already been attempted to be poisoned. Perhaps he already got thrown in the water, ate the poison cake, thrown in the water, and this has happened and that's happening, and there's scheming going on in the palace. She's totally in anxiety, out of motherly affection for her son, but not just material affection. She's understanding these are great devotees, and it's my service to protect them. So and at the same time, there's affection for them because they're her sons. It's simultaneous. It's simultaneous, and one does not. And one is not to be minimized. Her affection for her sons, because they're her sons, is not to be minimized. And at the same time, she's totally in perfect Krishna consciousness. She's a great Mahatma, great Paramahamsa herself, as evident by the prayers that she's saying, describing the Lord as... Can you remember some of the terms that she... Can you remember some of the terms that she used to describe Krishna in those verses? She mentioned Govinda and Vishvatma, which means soul of the universe. Any others? Mahayogin, that was Krishna, the greatest yogi. Some other? There was one particular one that was Bhaktavatsala. She calls Krishna Bhaktavatsala. And sometimes described as the greatest quality of the Lord, that he's the friend and well-wisher of the devotees. He's the friend and well-wisher of devotees. So she's presenting, so if you notice, well, she's in the beginning, 7 and 8 or so, she's talking to Akrura. Did my mother and father, my friends, the girls I grew up with, did they remember me? Does my nephew Krishna ever think of me? She's talking to Akrura. But then again, in the middle of that, she just offers her heart, gushes out from her heart, her prayer to Krishna directly. Forget Akrura. You know, she offers her prayer to Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Mahayogin. She's just there as if she was conversing and seeing the Lord. Because of her intense remembrance of the Lord, she's actually seeing the Lord right there, and she's offering her prayers right to the Lord directly. So it's instructive even for Akrura. So previously, Uddhava was sent to Vrindavan to deliver the message of the gopis. So he was sent as a messenger, but that wasn't his only role or only service. Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan to learn from the gopis of their high degree of love, highest, that can't be comparable to anyone, that Uddhava had never experienced, the highest degree of love that the gopis had for Krishna. So he was meant to deliver that message, but he was meant to go and learn from the gopis too. So similarly, Akrura, he's delivering, you know, he has a relationship of Krishna paternal, as an uncle, you know, in a paternal relationship there. And he's offering his very respectful prayers previously. But he's given the message to go to see the Pandavas and Kunti and to see and experience the intensity of Kunti Devi's love for Krishna, because we can never stop learning. It's never that we reach a pinnacle and Haripol, we're there and we got it all. It's always, Krishna is always expanding, love for Krishna is always expanding, and service to Krishna is always expanding, among a few other things that are always expanding. So, Akrura's seeing and experiencing and appreciating, obviously, Kunti Devi's expression that just comes out spontaneously. There's no stopping it. You can't stop it. It just comes out spontaneously because she's so intensely attached to Krishna. So in text 9, the word bhaktavatsala comes up. Sharanyo bhaktavatsala. Krishna's giving shelter to his devotees. He's giving shelter to his devotees. In earlier in the Bhagavatam, I think in the first canto, where Krishna is with Arjuna. Hold on, I've got it here in my notes. Somewhere in order. Okay. It's in the third canto? Okay, it's in the third canto, 24th verse. Okay. 24th chapter, excuse me. Prabhupada says in one of the purports there, he said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Bhakta Vatsal. He's never described as Gyani Vatsal or Yogi Vatsal. He's always described as Bhakta Vatsal because he's more inclined towards his devotees than towards other transcendentalists. Bhagavad Gita, it is confirmed that a devotee can only a devotee can understand them. Bhaktya mam abhijananti. That understanding alone is real, because although the gyanis, mental speculators, can realize only the effulgence or bodily luster, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and yogis can realize only the partial representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a bhakta not only realizes him as he is, but also associates with the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. So, That relationship that the Lord provides, that we need to take advantage of, because what he was also described as the Vishvatma, the soul of the universe, the soul of every, he's there as the super soul within everyone's heart, witnessing. He's the witness. He's the witness and the permitter. Upadrastha and Anumanta. In the 11th canto, 11th chapter, verse 6 and 7, which I only happen to know because I just gave a class on that in Krishna House. But the analogy of the two birds in the tree is given in those two verses. The two birds in the tree are there. So there's the bird that's there eating all the fruits. Some happen to be a little bitter. Some happen to be quite sweet. And that one bird is busy eating the fruits of the tree. But there's another bird that's just sitting there, neutral, watching the other bird. What is he doing? He's waiting. He's just waiting. He, as the supersoul, that witnessing bird is described as Krishna, waiting for the living entity who's busy eating the bitter results, the sweet results, perhaps if he has some pious activity, some bitter results if he has impious activity, the bitter and sweet results of his activities, and suffering suffering good results. He suffers the entanglement in repeated birth and death, and the witnessing bird, the super soul, he's just waiting for the bird to turn towards him. As explained in this 13th purport. The Lord is there as the super soul, and we have a relationship with him. It's there. We just need to reestablish it by remembering, by concentrating, by offering our heartfelt prayers, by asking for his assistance. We just need to reestablish it. It's up to us to turn towards the Lord. So we've turned to some degree towards the Lord, and we're realizing, to whatever degree we're realizing, that our position as servitor of the Lord. And gradually, if we cultivate that relationship of servitor, then what happens? The Lord reciprocates. And he's constantly reciprocating. And he never forgets to reciprocate. And he never forgets what we've done. Never. In this life, what does he say? Bhagavad Gita says, any endeavor on this path? That one. Neha bikrama nastoste. And the translation is? In this endeavor? Is that one? No loss, thanks. I lost it. No loss. In any endeavor, there's no loss of diminution. Any endeavor is remembered by the Lord. And do you think that remembrance ends? Perhaps for us, at the end of this life, we take a new body. We can't remember that we might have been this inclined or that inclined or offered this service. We don't remember. But the Lord remembers. He never forgets. He never forgets what little service we've rendered. So, personally, when I remember things like this, I think, oh, let me just try to offer as much service I can in this life. With whatever little bit of devotion that I have, let that be cultivated, a little, whatever I can do, so that Krishna will always remember that. He'll always remember it. And it's shown time and time again how he always never forgets. He never forgets. Never forget. So, Hare Krishna. That's Bhaktivatsala. That's one of the qualities. He's always encouraging his devotees, and he's always waiting for them to return to him. So there's many other words in these series of verses that struck chords with me. Mahayogin was mentioned. Mahayogin, that great yogi. He's the greatest yogi because he can do anything. Somebody who has some good qualities, say strength. So that person can do things in relation to strength. But it doesn't mean that he has all opulence. It doesn't mean that he has all knowledge. It doesn't mean that he has all renounce. But Krishna, he's the greatest yogi because he has all of those activities, all of those qualities in unlimited quantity. And therefore, all potency. Krishna has one potency. Okay, Sakarini. Anyway, the potency that he can do anything just by his desire. Just by his desire, it can happen. Now, for us, we might have certain desires. Satya Sankalpa? Yeah, there's another one, thank you. Satya Sankalpa, that he can do anything that he desires. There's another one mentioned in that Govardhan Leela pastime, but I'm sure it means the same. Thank you. Krishna can do anything. Oh, we might have desires to achieve something, you know, whatever, certain economic level or whatever, so that we can serve nicely this or that. We might want to get a certain education so that we could use that in Krishna's service. So many things we might desire to do. And what does it result in? It takes huge endeavor to accomplish that. It takes a huge endeavor on our part, so much time, so much blood, sweat, and tears, and so many impediments come in the way that we might have envisioned it to be in a certain way, and we got a different result. I don't know if that's ever happened to you, but sometimes it does happen. You have an envision of this, but you only got that, and even after making tremendous endeavor, but Krishna, he can just go, and it's done. It's not even, you know, a huge endeavor for him. In fact, it's no endeavor for him, because probably one of his energies, Parasha Shaktar Vihai Yashuate, his unlimited potencies, which are all independently powerful and knowledgeable, can do anything at any time, at any place, for anyone. So when I personally, when I read verses like this with these words, Bhakta Vatsala, and a few others that came to mind, which, Brahmane Paramatmane, that he's the Lord of the universe, he's the absolute truth and the super soul of the universe, Yogeshvara, yoga, so many words. I feel encouraged to try to, again, consciously, whatever little consciousness I have, consciously offer my prayers and beg for his mercy, because he's always inclined. He's always inclined to his devotees to give his mercy to his devotees. And so here, Kunti Devi, she's praying to the Lord to protect her sons. We mentioned about her prayers in the first canto. She's has some very potent prayers that she offers there. The essence of the prayers are the same. Now, while she's in the midst of the troubles. Here she's in the midst of the troubles. She's not sure what's going to happen, if her sons are going to be injured in some way. It seems she's describing herself like a doe in the midst of wolves. Now, if you actually have a little conception of, like, here we have so many deer, and if you haven't seen any deer, you can come to my house. There's plenty of deer there eating everything that we plant. And they're just little, you know, they don't have claws, they don't have particularly sharp teeth, they have a voracious appetite, but that's, you know, you can pardon them for that. But, you know, they're not ferocious in any way, they're not scary at all, you know. They're easily frightened. A little light, a little movement, and they'll run away. So a doe, a baby one, probably with spots, you know, there. And there's lions all circling around. What chance does that little doe have of surviving? He can't fight him off with his legs, or he doesn't even have horns yet. He's got, and he's scared stiff. He's probably trembling. Probably, actually, he's not even trembling. He's frozen tight. You know, so what chance does he have? So Kunti is describing herself like a doe in the midst of wolves and tigers who have so much ability to rip apart and chew and kill and so many things. They're so vicious. What chance? So she's so there she is in the midst of those troubles, and she's fervently offering her prayers. In the first canto, her situation is that the boys and herself have been saved from all of those troubles. The battle has finished, and there they are now, reestablished in the palace, in their own palace, and all the kings are offering tribute, and etc., etc., and the situation is so much, quote-unquote, comfortable. But you know, her realization is, this is worse. This is worse. This comfortable situation where everything's just fine is worse. Rather I'd let those calamities come again and again. Because why? They force one. When those, you actually see your position, you know, perhaps when everything's going smoothly, you're thinking, huh, I did pretty good. I achieved this, I did that, my health is good, na-na-na, my children are safe, mom, this and that. When you're in a helpless condition, you realize there's nothing in your power you can do. You tried everything, and it's all out of your hands. But actually, that's reality. That position of helplessness is reality. And this position that we're in, thinking everything's just fine, that's illusion. We are, as Kunti Devi offers in her prayers in the eighth chapter in the first canto, we are totally helpless and totally in the midst of a sea of trouble and totally dependent on the Lord and his mercy. So therefore, it behooves one to realize that and offer prayers like that and realize, I'm not the controller. Which is why we got here in the material world to begin with, thinking that we could arrange things on our own to be happy. And my dear Lord, I'm totally dependent upon you for your mercy, for my protection, for everything. And that's our real position. Anything else could possibly be. If you say it too emphatically, then somebody will say, but what about this? No. So anything else could possibly be illusion if you're not seeing that you're totally dependent on Krishna at every moment. So her prayers, the essence of her prayers in the first canto and the essence of her prayers here are the same, because she's acknowledging her position, she's acknowledging her relationship with the Lord, and she's acknowledging her dependence on the Lord for his protection. And that's the lesson that I can take from these series of verses, that this is our real position. And anything that helps us cultivate that, that's very nice. Hare Krishna. Any comments or corrections or additions, Prabhu?
One little comment on the word bhakta vatsala. Mm-hmm. We may or may not realize that vatsala comes from the word vatsa, which is calf. And so vatsala means he has the attitude of a protective parent for the child, just like a cow for the calf. And one thing is interesting here, because you contrasted and compared those two sets of prayers of Kunti, is very interesting. And here she's, as you say, just like the, it reminded me of chapter 21, the Venu Gita. The gopis are singing their song as Krishna goes out to the forest, but at a certain point, they're addressing him as he's right there.
Hum
daya mastaha, this hill is the greatest servant. What hill? They're like 10 miles away. But they're as if they're standing next to Krishna. So this same idea that the intensity of emotion, Krishna's present there and she's offering obeisance to you, this whole second person here. Mm-hmm. So that's the essence of her prayer in the first canto when she says, Vipadaksanta Takshasva. Mm. Let these calamities that she's praying for help from happen again, because we can see you directly.
Mm.
Now she's experiencing Purvaraga. She's afraid of separation. Now Krishna's going away forever.
Mm. So that reminded me of two different points. Hopefully I can remember the both of them. One of them is that intensity of her love for Krishna, of remembering Krishna, brought him in her mind right there present. And this is something that you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to say something that you don't do, but maybe if I say it, I'll do it. This is how we should chant our rounds. We should be chanting with that intensity of Krishna, you know, please engage me in your service. And with that intensity of mind, he'll be there, right present. He's there, but we won't, you know, anyway. We'll realize him more right there present. And it's that intensity of prayer that he reciprocates very quickly with. Just like the example of Draupadi, when Draupadi was pulled into that vicious assembly when all those mean men were trying to disrobe her, and nobody was speaking up. Everybody was there, practically everybody there was righteous and pious and this and that, and but because it was overpowered by the energy of Duryodhan and Shakuni and Dushasana and Karna, they overpowered, that energy overpowered them. All those pious, righteous people didn't say anything. So Kunti, Draupadi's praying, my husband, this one, protect me, Bhishma, will you protect me? And Krishna's there waiting. He's there also, but he's waiting for her. Oh, Govinda, when she prays with that intensity, then the sari comes. So much is there, the protection is there. When she gives up her own endeavor for protection, or her own trying to make her own arrangement for protection, and with total, there's no stop, there's no hold barred, there's no, she's not reserving any little bit of Krishna, everything for Krishna, then he's there, reciprocating. Hare Krishna. There was something else, but I forgot it. Dhammaraj, Prabhu? Thanks.
I was just
Yeah, with this position of Queen Kunti here, like even though it's described that it was a very fearful situation with a deer surrounded by tigers and wolves like that, but if we look at it, is that it's a very fearless, that she was very fearless to be in that position and still being able to think of Krishna. I'm just kind of contrasting on the other side.
Did you say fearless?
Fearless.
Fearless, okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes, so that it's like very instructive to us that how to rightly apply ourselves in this material world.
Yeah.
So I was just kind of thinking. I'm not exactly sure if I'm explaining what I want to explain, or, but it's just a thought that I'm putting out there of how a devotee can make the best use of any situation in this material world.
That it's a good point for two reasons, because it reminded me of the other point that I wanted to say to Dravidas. Comment. Because in her prayers, one of her famous prayers is she's saying, please cut my tie of affection for my kinsmen. Now that, on the surface, is quite bewildering, because what, her kinsmen are all great, great devotees. So why would she want to cut her tie? So by the Lord's grace, I just happened to read that this morning. And Prabhupada says in the purport that the attraction, what her sons, obviously, the Pandavas, and all her, and even the Vrishnis, they're all great devotees of the Lord. So it's not that she's needs to cut that a tie, but what she was, her bewilderment was, is that if she wanted Krishna to come and protect her sons, then perhaps he would have to leave the Vrishnis, and therefore she was afraid that she was being partial just to her sons, and you know, the other people are also devotees, and so she's wanting to cut that the connection of the skin. But Prabhupada explains in the purport that we can't be without feelings. It doesn't mean that we should be without feelings for these natural sources of affection. That, in fact, that to have that affection for a person is a sign of life. Sometimes we have the tendency to want to cut off all interaction as Maya. This friend, this is, you know, just a waste of time. This is that. This is Maya. This is nonsense. But then it's actually to have affectionate feelings towards others and loving relationships with others is a sign of that you're alive. So it's just a little thing. Just, we have to put it in the proper perspective and be well wishes of others and our family members and this and that, and interact nicely with others, because the tendency is trying to make progress in devotional service, we're thinking, oh, this is Maya, and we cut it off, and then you're just like lonely and sad and unfulfilled, and the attraction for the material energy can seep in that way and pull you away. So make your loving relationships with the devotees, with the family, with the this and that, and bring them all centered around Krishna. Hare Krishna, that was just a little pontification there, sorry. Hare Krishna. So many, Ragatmika.
You cited the example of Draupadi, and you said that when she finally gave up all attempts to protect herself, then then Krishna appeared in the form of the sari. What about the statement that God helps those who help themselves? How do you
reconcile it?
Yeah.
It's according to one's level of realization, how you act. One could say, okay, I'm totally dependent on Krishna, and therefore I'm going to sit down and do nothing. That's not necessarily, like for example, Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna wants to sit down on his chariot, and at one point there's a little dialogue in one of the purports that Prabhupada's saying, that Arjuna is saying, okay, if you want these people killed, you do it. You know, I'm just going to sit down, more or less. That's paraphrasing it pretty grossly, but anyway. But Krishna wants us to act, in certain ways. So we make our endeavor, and we're dependent on the Lord for his results. Srila Prabhupada made his endeavor with his I've mentioned this before, but anyway. With his head held high, he had his little briefcase, he boarded the Jaladuta, not knowing at all what the outcome would be. He had his books there stored in the boat, and he was going to make his endeavor, and whatever the result was, he was fine with that. And he endeavored and endeavored and endeavored. So, and here we are because of that. So it's not that one makes no endeavor. In fact, it was quite natural for Draupadi to make the endeavor, Bhishma, why are you allowing this? My, you know, Bhima, this and that. It was quite natural. But then the full realization was, only Krishna can save me. Janmashtami ji? And then Dravida. And then Madan Mohan also, sorry. Sorry, Rama.
About 25 years ago, I attended a seminar where the devotee, I had never really read, you know, Sri Chaitanya Shikshamrita, but this devotee quoted it as saying that prior to the stage of advancement, four things have to be in place for one to make progress in spiritual life. One of them is that he has to be in a financially stable situation. He has to be in a socially acceptable situation, otherwise he can't be ostracized from, you know, the communities he's living in. He has to be in good health. And he has to be intellectually nourished. And by that, he's regularly imbibing Shastra. So then we also have...
To make advancement? You mean those four things?
To make spiritual progress, those four things have to be in place.
Wow.
And the last one makes a lot of sense to us. The other ones may be, you know, a little confusing. and then, you know, Prabhupada was saying, you know, to be a Vaishnava is not such a... easy thing, you know, in the famous Vanashram talks. And, you know, so Daivi Vanashram, you know, he wanted that established, and basically that gives stability, it seems, you know, so that we avoid a lot of the distresses that come without it. So, you know, it seems that, you know, the level of spiritual advancement, you know, is, that's taken into account by Krishna. Now here we got Kunti, you know, who's such a surrendered soul, but you know, if we're subjected to the same levels of distress, maybe a little difficult for us to process it because we're so disturbed. So I'm wondering if you could comment in that area, you know, that seems to be incremental, you know, as we advance, then we get bigger tests.
It's a custom job. It's custom because Krishna, knowing our past activities from billions and billions of lifetimes, and knowing our present activities, he's custom, he's making a custom, customized design, the artist told me, thanks, you know, of what we are getting, and we should look at it like that, this is Lord Brahma, Tatenu kampam su samikshamanam, you know, whatever good has come, I don't deserve it. Krishna's very kindly giving me something so sweet, even though I don't deserve it. Whatever bad comes, actually, because there has to be some knowledge. Whatever bad comes, I realize it's not just this life that I've been hanging around doing whatever I've been doing. Millions and millions of life, confirmed, you hear that? Millions and millions of lifetimes I've been doing pious and impious, most likely impious, activities, and I have this huge warehouse of karmic, fruits that have to be tasted, you know, and Krishna's just given me a little by his grace. So he gives according to our ability, and even whatever he gives is beyond our ability, so even whatever we're experiencing, we need to wholeheartedly pray and hop and for his mercy. But those things that you mentioned could be discussed quite a bit, I think. But I'll slide on that.
Okay, just quickly, this comment that she was fearless. I think what I get is that she's courageous, which means that despite of fear, she still takes, fearless is maybe not exactly the right word. As apropos of God helps those who help themselves, I was just listening to the Yoga System tapes, if you remember. The first verse, at the end, Prabhupada asks for questions, and Prabhupada, I forget who says this, devotee says, Prabhupada, it is written in the Bhagavad Gita that we just read from, about how you think that Krishna will provide for us. And also further on in the Gita, it is said that God helps those who help themselves. Prabhupada said, yes. Devotee, now how do we determine, Prabhupada interrupts, helping yourself means you put yourself under Krishna. That is helping yourself. And if you think, oh, I can protect myself, then you are not helping yourself.
Prabhupada, just in a few words, you can just put it all right in perspective. Ananda Tirtha Prabhu, Hare Krishna.
This dialogue is going on quite early in Krishna. There's no record that Kunti ever met Krishna, or to speak of the Pandavas meeting Krishna, but she already has so much relationship and understanding of Krishna. It's very interesting to try to understand how Krishna's pastimes were already being broadcast, you know, without any internet or without anything even written down.
We're
already
thinking that the internet is so advanced, Haribol.
People knew about Krishna even though he only just left Vrindavan, you know, very recently. But Kunti already has the whole everything. She already knows everything.
Amazing, huh? So, like, now immediately there's Rukmini, who only heard about Krishna and then totally gave her heart. Then what about the ladies in Mathura, the wives of the Brahmin in Mathura? They had never seen Krishna, but they heard about him from just the flower. So, and then there's Narada Muni, who comes and gives many little snippets of information. So, yeah, it's there. It's all throughout the universe. Thank you. And the intensity is there. Hold on one second. Madan Mohan Prabhu, and then, okay. Mahatma Prabhu. He does, you're going next. He deferred to you.
Thank you very much, Prabhu. Ladies first.
No, he's, go ahead.
One thing about what Janmasthami said, that theory about the ladder of human understanding on life, you know, like having the base covered, surviving and all, that's the Maslow pyramid. But that what is not considered on that pyramid is the causeless mercy of the Lord. So that's why it doesn't really quite work. I mean, you can have everything achieved, you know, like all the states of human development, and then we have seen it, you know, people have the money, have the fame, have the accommodations, everything, and they still don't achieve the spiritual understanding. So the causeless mercy is what is not considered on that concept.
But just as a point of clarification, Janmasthami Prabhu was quoting from Shikshamrita, is that correct? Chaitanya Shikshamrita, which is that Bhaktivinoda? Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So, so it's not a mundane thing, and it's greatly, it's perfect. But it's something that needs to be discussed. You should give a seminar on that, Prabhu. Thank you very kindly. Madonna, oh, you're there, okay. Because you had said no, now you're saying yes. Okay, please.
Just two little points. One is the 10 subjects of Srimad Bhagavatam. There's 10 subjects, and one of them is the protection of the devotee.
Poshanam. Oh, the Lord's protection. Sorry.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. And then on that other point, they were just talking about if you have something, you can renounce it. But if you don't have anything, a lot of times you're hankering. You know, you're in distress, and you're in the sochiti kanchiti situation. But one of the symptoms of renunciation is that you have something, and even though you have it, it doesn't hold any power over you. You know, you use it in Krishna's service, Yukta. We see many advanced souls that had plenty of things, but they just use it in Krishna's service.
Thank you. And thank you very much for your kind attention. Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Radhe Shyam Ki Jai, Krishna Balaram Ki Jai.